Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Could you see this team making a move?
Yeah, it was too bad about Tevin Coleman because those high ankle sprains are nasty. I mean, that's, depending on how severe it is, a couple of weeks is the minimum, especially for somebody who's going to have to plan on that thing and really put as much torque on it as he's going to have to do it, you know, running the way that they run in that offense. You're going to have to. You start getting down bodies like this. I mean, you ran for, you know, less than 100 yards. What was it, 98 yards? So that ain't going to work. That's just not what you generally want. You want to get that more into the, you know, 130, 140, at least consistently.
Absolutely.
I would think. You know, sure. So this is going to be something. If you've got to pick up free agent types, now remember, this is an offense that's predicated on, you know, running back by committee. This isn't a, you know, a bell cow. Let's put somebody in there because he's got to get all the carries, all the catches, everything else. So if there's an offensive style that's built for sort of plug and play, it'd be this one.
Randy, before we let you go, what do you make of this Antonio Brown situation? You have everything that took place in Pittsburgh, then the Raiders, then it looks like all the while he's this mastermind that was calculating all these decisions behind the scenes. He gets what he wants. He lands in New England, and before he can even suit up for his first game, he's now facing a civil suit on rape allegations. The league is already talking about putting him on the exempt list. I mean, if you're the Patriots, what are you thinking right now?
Yeah. I think the whole thing, honestly, is kind of sad. This is such a fantastic game, and this is such an amazing opportunity for everybody that gets to play it. And we spend most of our time talking about idiots like this. You know, I think the comedian Ron White said it best when he said, you can't fix stupid.
Really well said right there. Three-time Super Bowl champ, three-time first-team all-pro offensive lineman of the 49ers, Randy Cross, kind enough to join Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Randy, we always appreciate the time and the insights. Thanks so much for coming on with us this morning.
All right. No problem. Good luck to the Niners against the Bengals.
Absolutely. Big game against the Bengals this week. Some early money coming in on Cincinnati. We'll have more for you on that in just a bit. But the Antonio Brown thing, for those of you who may just be waking up, I'm reading directly from ESPN. Antonio Brown has been accused of sexually assaulting his former trainer, according to a lawsuit filed Tuesday in the Southern District of Florida. In the civil lawsuit, a copy of which was reviewed by ESPN, Brown's former trainer, Brittany Taylor, accuses the newly signed New England Patriots receiver of sexually assaulting her on three separate occasions in 2017 and 2018. It never ends with this guy. Never ends with this guy. The way this is going to shake down, it's one of two things. He did it or he didn't. If he did, he goes to prison, hopefully. If he didn't, well, it becomes a lot more complicated. But when you make a lot of noise in life and you draw a lot of attention and you think you're above the system time and time again, you can make yourself a target. Does anyone think it's just some shocking turn of events that as Antonio Brown is dominating headlines, suddenly a lawsuit's coming his way? Again, we don't know if he's guilty or innocent. If he's guilty, go to prison. That's what I hope happens. If he's innocent, I hope he's found innocent. But to see him ensnared in something like this at this point, it's a guy who's out there making a lot of noise. It's the whole Frank Lucas thing from American Gangster. He's in the shadows right up until he's at that fight at Madison Square Garden. Wife buys him the mink coat. He wears it. The FBI is taking photos of other individuals. He pops up in the photos. Suddenly they start asking questions. Well, who's this guy? Who's this guy in the mink coat? Frank goes home and burns the mink coat in his fireplace. He's so furious that he's now found out. What did your old man used to always say? Walk easy when you got your hand in the lion's mouth.
Walk easy when you got your hand in the lion's mouth.
That's and now you got the reports out of the NFL that they're thinking this is a civil lawsuit. Okay, he hasn't been charged with anything. The NFL is thinking about putting him on the exempt list.
Fallback.
He might not even get to play football because of this.
This is a situation where the NFL is not happy with Antonio Brown. I think that this is far more than just the allegations. This is about the slap in the face of the Raiders, slap in the face of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now this is that, like you're saying, barking real loud, and now you just have reasons. Because the way that this all played out, this is not a good look for the NFL. The NFL, you talk about, it's different than basketball. And of course, I'm not excusing the allegations because this is horrible. But I'm just talking about football itself. You're talking about how the NFL is the one sport that players don't have the freedom that NBA has, don't have the freedom, don't have the guaranteed money, don't have all those different issues. This is control. Control was a little bit lost in this situation. And the NFL now, they're like, hey, look, this guy, he made a mockery of the game. He made a mockery of the process. Dude, this is his allegations. Even now, we got a chance to stick it to him. I think that this is far more than what he's been accused of.
It's a fascinating way to put it, and especially when you – let's put aside the guilt and innocence because
Absolutely. Nobody knows
outside of the two individuals involved really and a possible eyewitness guilt or innocence. But what you're saying is absolutely spot on, Lo, because the league is infuriated.
Oh my God. The league is
embarrassed by what he did. And he didn't necessarily do anything to Pittsburgh because they got value for him in a trade, but he embarrassed – one of the pillar organizations in the 100-year history of this league. The league's been around 100 years right. In some form. Pro football's been around 100 years. So for this player to come in and do what he did, especially when he did that to the Raiders, maybe not a pillar of the league like Pittsburgh is, especially when you talk about, you know, the Raiders suing the league, et cetera. I think they'd be willing to forgive what took place in Oakland. Fine, go to New England, put your head down, and go play football. Josh Gordon has done that. I know he was never accused of the things that Antonio's being accused of, but he was a player who was in trouble with the league, and yet he's gone there, put his head down, and been a good citizen. And now Antonio Brown with this, I think this is a golden opportunity for the commissioner to exact a pound of flesh.
2 points on this. Number one, to the Chilton Auto Body text line, I am aware that it is a civil suit and he can't go to prison because of that. I'm saying if you are guilty of crimes like this, I hope you end up in prison. I know that criminal charges haven't been filed. You should not be walking amongst us if you are guilty of crimes like this. That's number one. Number two, I think you're missing the point a little bit. You make great points, but this isn't about getting him for embarrassing the league. This is about getting him for sending a message to all the other players out there who might think about doing something similar so that they can treat this like the NBA rather than the NFL. The NFL does not want players right. trying to force their way out of these contracts. The NFL has it better than any other professional sports league in America. They don't have to give you guaranteed deals. They get so much more control over your career than you have of it. And in the NBA, if you're disgruntled and you're Jimmy Butler, you can derail a practice. You can cause a hissy fit. They got to trade you. Chris Paul, Dwight Howard, the list goes on and on. Kyrie Irving in Cleveland. If these guys are unhappy, the teams have
Steven Jackson with the Warriors.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. You're just sitting there, and it's like, well, you take away all the leverage, and the team's got to move you. In the NFL, they do not want players looking at Antonio Brown going, damn,
I got
to get together with my agent and figure out a way out of this thing because that's what I'm looking to do now.
Agreed.
And then you got all these guys running wild trying to sit out. NFL would have a big problem on their hands. So this is a message right now, like it is to everybody else, like it was to Colin Kaepernick. If you're going to try to mess with the shield, they're going to do what they need to do to bury you to make sure the rest of the league doesn't get any ideas.
Especially when it comes to this too, Lo, because this would be two birds with one stone because they can also appear to be, you know, protecting women's rights. Not that they shouldn't, but they don't always come across as being genuine in that fashion. So if they were to place him on the commissioner's exempt list and thereby denying him the chance to play, they could also put that out there in the front as well.
Guys, Ray Rice knocked the woman out, and we got to see it up close and personal. We got to see what it looked like. We've been knowing what women have been, and it's horrible. We all know what it sounds like. We all hear about these horrible, but we got to see it. And after they saw it, now it became, wow, even though the NFL had, they still were going to let the guy play, all the stuff that was going on. We've seen Kyrie, you know, what did he do to the little boy and all the stuff that they've been accused of. Still, everything, guys still get to play. Guys, hey, we got to see if this guy's innocent. All those different things. They don't just hear automatically suspend. They're like, hey, we got to go through the due process. You've seen what happened to even the Niners player, the linebacker.
Reuben Foster.
All these allegations, all those things, you guys know that it's always due process. They don't do this. All of a sudden, they're going to put him on the shelf. Joe, you're absolutely right. The league is saying, this guy has shown a way to get out. We are not allowing this to happen. Here's an opportunity to say, okay, you do this, we're going to show you. I think it's more than that. We're not. We understand that's a horrible crime that you're talking about, that you know, being accused of allegedly. But I think this is way bigger than that.
From the 650, I know I'm right, and I appreciate you bringing that up. I try to bring great insights to the show, but here's what you get from the Chilton Auto Body text line 650. OJ needs to replace Fortinball as the host of this show with Low and Dibs. Is that what you two want? You want OJ?
It's O Low and Dibs. We dropped the J. I like it. Sorry, Joe, you're gone.
How would you feel about that show? Say you were locked into that for 5 years. It's not going to be one day and it's like, look, this isn't working. I want a Jimmy Butler my way out of here. There's no Jimmy
Butler. 5 years?
OJ's in and it's 5 years of OJ Low and Dibs.
Man, a lot of talk about his fantasy team. I don't know if I can endure that. Guys, I got to tell you, my draft.
What's going on, Twitter world?
Totally, yeah. I guess I'll stay with you, Joe.
You know what? Thank you.
We're already three-fifths of the way through this five-year run. So
right.
Fortinball over O.J. Simpson by a nose. let's get serious for a moment as we joke around and we transition from serious joking. A lot of clowns out there on the 95.7 The Game Instagram feed. A graphic was posted last night of the Pick'em contest that's taking place between the four shows. There's our show, there's the midday show, the afternoon show, and the evening show. Each week on Fridays, the shows will be making picks against the spread for the Raider game, the Niner game, the Sunday night game, and the Monday night game. So it's four a week, but, you know, there will be the Raider bye and the Niner bye. And we're keeping a tally and we're, you know, turning it into content. When the graphic went up, it showed that we are 0-4. And we are, in fact, 0-4. And if you go into the comments, it's nothing but people taking shots at us. First of all, we are trying to lose all the games. We want to lose every single one of them. We are anti-management and anti-establishment. We have Low versus Dibs. We have Bet 162. We got a million pick'ems going on this. They forced another one down our throat. So we said no more. We're done. We're going to do something different. We're going to try to lose every single game. And you know what? That's exactly what we did in week one. We lost every single game, just like we said we were going to do. So before you start clowning us in the mentions, understand what the plan is. Understand what the plan is. We did exactly what we set out to do.
It's obvious. Four down and 62 to go. I believe we'll pick 66 games. It's basically four a week times 17. But there's two times we won't pick the Niners and the Raiders when they're on their bye. So,
well, also, there's no Monday night game in week 17.
So we're looking at 65 games.
Yeah, a whole bunch of
stuff. As we whittle this down.
We're going to lose them all.
We're 0-4, and spoiler alert this week.
I hope we can do it. I think we can lose every game. It's going to be hard.
I think there's no doubt.
We're going to get very close because we're very good at it. Yeah. We're very good at doing what we set out to accomplish.
Anybody could go out there and try to have a plucky little 3-1 or maybe even go 4-0. Try going 0-4.
And try doing it every week.
Yeah.
Plus, what are the clowns on the other shows really fighting for? There's no prize.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's going to happen once you win. No one. You think the other shows are going to come up and pat you on the rear end? We're anti-establishment. We stand with the people. We like anarchy.
And it's,
we're going to lose all of them.
They're going for bragging rights, but ultimately the bragging rights lie in the morning show because by the time 10 o'clock comes around, we've already talked about every sport, every angle, every team, all the pertinent content has already been exhausted. So it's just repeat city the
scraps.
Rest of the day.
It's just scraps.
Yeah.
We'll leave a couple scraps for you. We might not hit on every topic today being as thorough as we are. What should be happening here is maybe a thank you for trickling some of the billions down to the other programs.
Makes sense.
But yeah, let's not you know, show any gratitude whatsoever. So.
No, they're dwelling on the 0-4 when in fact it's just perfection. So one down, 16 weeks to go.
Yeah, there it is.
Lean back and enjoy. And if you think that you're so confident at how bad we are, go ahead and fade us. Fade and Baugh, fade Ibley, low fade Neil, fade Neil, fade low. I dare you.
As we get set to start turning our attention to Cincinnati, I start to find myself.
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
If you want to win, yeah, today's Wednesday. We said come Wednesday, we're going to play that drop like crazy.
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
Middle of the week. It's time to start turning our attention to the possibility of this football team going 2-0, Dibs.
Yeah.
I know that you came in with more of a cautious approach to this team taking a step
sure.
forward, but now that they've gone out and won one on the road, what are the odds they win another one on the road?
The odds are 50-50. Oh, if you want to give me an opportunity to bend the knee on this take to avoid what, facing a funeral if they go 4-0?
Is that what was the official take? There's so many takes, I can't.
Just takes everywhere. And coming up at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, our takes get taken takes by the other show, but I digest. It was just an argument or discussion we had about what they were likely to do. Outside of the season-long over-under wager that Lo and I have, you guys were of the mind that they would go 4-0. I was thinking more like 2-2 would be more likely.
I mean, you're probably still more likely to go 2-2 than 4-0, right? That would mean 1-3 versus 3-1 is what we're really. What's more likely over the next three games, 4 weeks, 3-1 or 1-3? Well, no, 1-2 or 2-1.
Right. I think they'd be more likely to go 2-1 than they would 1-2.
Would you like to bend the knee then?
No, I'm good.
You're good.
I'm good, Coach. Yeah, I'm not quite ready, and I don't even know if that's been offered. If Lo would agree with the offer of a bending of the knee, but I feel good about. You know, Cincinnati in this spot in particular, Niners in a two-game road trip, quote-unquote. They got a lot of breaks against Tampa Bay. The offense didn't exactly line it up. So what are the odds?
What do you mean a lot of breaks? Explain.
Jameis Winston threw the ball to the 49ers on 6 occasions.
They do. In the Niners, would we be even talking about Jimmy G if those guys, if it's not a – if Hushek doesn't pick – that's a touchdown. It monsters run. I mean, you got talking about 3 to 4 touchdowns taken off the board.
The reason why that was a touchdown was because the fullback violently picked the defender. So you could say what you want about that. That touchdown doesn't happen if there's no pick.
You know what? Yes, it does. You know who he threw the ball to? You know who caught the touchdown? Kittle. Yeah. So,
but why was he open, Coach?
Because the defender decided to run through Hushek, okay? Well, look at the play. Why don't you pull it up on your screen before you
I've looked at it numerous times.
And let's see if Cal Hushek run into him. You can't show me that. He runs a straight line,
sure.
And the guy runs into him.
He's running that 9 route from the 2. I forgot about that.
He was lined up as the Y. They switched positions. The tight end went into as a fullback, and he went in as, you know, they had him fit. He was fitted on the line, and he was playing tight end, okay? I watched the play. And you watch him. He does not bend to the corner. Pull it up. Pull it up. Stop watching. Start watching the tape before you arbitrarily go out here and start saying that.
Tough spot to be in here, Dibs. Yeah. He's coming down your lane.
Because he knows I know what I'm talking about. If you watch him, he does not veer into the guy. He runs and he gets hit and it goes like, and his shoulder gets hit. The guy comes to him. He's supposed to go underneath or he could have fallen over the top. Don't just sit there and
was either sloppy play design or sloppy route by the fullback, which I'm going to lean toward the latter.
Fullbacks are there's a little stiff, okay? Okay.
A little dinosaur to him.
Okay.
I'm waiting for you to refute the point that I made about Jameis throwing the ball to the Niners on 6 occasions, 3 of which were dropped.
Refuting would be, what are you supposed to do if you're the Niners in that situation? You don't make the schedule. You can't control. They can't say, you know what? Sorry, we don't want Tampa Bay. We want Tom Brady and the Patriots just to make sure when we win, people don't try to take it away
from
us.
Just before we fall over ourselves trying to praise this new-look defense, just realize, watch the game. Just do me a favor.
Okay, let's watch
the game. I'm on my 14th viewing. I'm going to be watching
it
for the 15th time this afternoon. That's how much I study
tape. You. And this guy, here's the thing, Joe. He comes in here and now just tries to, they got the 49ers. Jameis Winston was Moses. He opened up the Red Sea. He just gave them interceptions. You're the guy who picked him. Now you're sitting here. You're the one who said.
I feel bad about it. I feel shame.
No, you should be. You're the guy who sit there. The Niners are going to lose. They haven't won. I mean, now all of a sudden, they played Jameis Winston.
Actually,
this is what you thought.
All of us picked him, and that's why we went 0-4.
No, man versus machine. For the fate of the world, we picked the Niners, and we won.
Oh, it's big.
Yeah. That's all we're looking to do. We're looking to take down the machines. We're not worried about the other programs.
Are you done now?
That's, again, it's a radio show. When you do that,
he's done.
Thankfully, we're all out of time. Michael Silver, though, with some very, very interesting comments about Jimmy Garoppolo. Do you see him starting all 16 games for the Niners this year? I'm not talking about injury. I'm talking about Nick Mullins. That's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Here, Stephen Langford with perhaps what's coming up on the game.
Well, perhaps, Joe, what's coming up on the game is sponsored by Ticket Crushers. Raiders rookie safety Jonathan Abram was put on injured reserve this morning and will miss the rest of the season with a torn rotator cuff. Will the Raiders make any moves to replace him this year? Bonte Steine and Guru will ask 95.7 The Game NFL insider Adam Kaplan. at 11. 49ers running back Tevin Coleman has a high ankle sprain and will miss a few weeks. How will this running back core handle these coming weeks? Well, fellow running back Matt Breida will join the Damon Bruce Show with Ratto and Kolsky at 3 o'clock. Remember, you can take 95.7 The Game on the go. Download the radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. On to baseball, Johnny Cueto gave up only one hit in five innings in his first start back after having Tommy John surgery as the Giants grabbed a 5-4 victory over the Pirates, while the A's lost to the Astros 15-0 on Monday but came back to crush the Houston Astros 21-7 last night. Got a ticket, suspended license, DUI, don't pay. Let the attorneys at Ticket Crushers go to court for you and crush that ticket for as little as $149. Ticket Crushers knows how to win. Call 866-TICKET-HELP. That's 866-TICKET-HELP for a free consultation. Will Jimmy Garoppolo be playing all 16 games this season? Joe Lowe and Dibs discuss next. I'm Stephen Langford, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Let's jump right into it with the call. You're going to call us out of nowhere. We'll bring you onto the program. 888-957-9570. Edward in Oakland on the 49ers. Edward, welcome to the show. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call, fellas. You never know unless you call in, right?
That's how we do things around here.
Love you guys. I just want to say, man, as a huge 49er fan, I look at these first four games and I got to think, championship mentality, you got to go 4-0. Now, for a young team, all you got to do is get that first victory, especially on the road. You go against the Bengals here. I like their pass rush, the 49ers, that be it. Jimmy Garoppolo will get better. Sure, he got rusty, but you just got to feel really good about yourself, where you're at, week one with a victory. Week two, you go on the road, and then you get the Steelers and Browns at home. I like their chances, fellas.
All right, appreciate the phone call. The opportunity to go 3-0. You got to get past the Bengals, currently a 1.5-point dog. Look ahead line for next week. Pittsburgh 1.5 at San Francisco. Pittsburgh has been released on the look ahead lines, which come out a little over a week in advance to give you an opportunity to beat the market. They're -1.5 against the Niners. So the Niners currently are scheduled to be underdogs in the next two games. So the chances of going 3-0 in your opinion.
It's a coin flip followed by a coin flip followed by a coin flip. So as you start to do that, all you set. Figure, can it come up heads three times in a row? Of course it will. Now, could it come up tails three times in a row and you lose all three? Sure. These games are all of that nature, in my opinion. Now, does Pittsburgh come in improved off of week one, or are the whispers about Big Ben really true, that maybe he's already retired in his mind because he looked ferocious in the opener? So if he continues down that track, all of a sudden that game's not as much of a coin flip. And if Cleveland don't believe the hype, if it's a Public Enemy game, as I borrow from Guru, then it's a different story altogether, because Cleveland was supposed to be good, and they also looked god-awful in their first game. So if those two teams are as bad as they looked in week one, all of a sudden 4-0 is definitely on the table.
3-0. Let's focus on 3-0 and then go to 4-0, but that is a very interesting point. What needs to be clean? Let me phrase it like this. How much more of a challenge is the Cincinnati game than the Tampa game?
I think it's a bigger challenge. You have a better quarterback. You have I don't necessarily think you have better necessarily receivers, but you got a quarterback that can get it to the receivers. I think the running back situation, don't know exactly who's going to play for Cincinnati. They got pretty decent offensive line. They got pretty good runners. I don't think that they have a better defense than all around than Tampa Bay. So I think that you're going to see an offense that's going to be a little bit more explosive. The Niners, that is. I see the running backs playing better. So this is going to be a better game, but if they have to run the ball a lot better than what they did. If you don't run the ball better than what you did, it's going to be hard to get out.
You're going to need the ball longer than you had it as well. That first half was nothing but Tampa's offense versus the Niners' defense.
Yeah,
I'm not saying you have to go 80 yards for a touchdown every time, but you've got to be able to pick up some first downs. You've got to be able to wear their defense down, give your defense an opportunity to get a blow so that they can come out and wreck shop. The fact that the Niner defense did what they did, I don't think they've gotten enough credit for that Tampa game. I know that we focus on Winston being a below-average quarterback. That's fine. I'm not going to refute that. But there are teams that wouldn't take advantage of that opportunity. There are teams that, let's be honest, have not been able to beat up on Winston. Not a lot of them. But Winston last year, oh no, it was Fitzpatrick and the Bucs that went into New Orleans last year in week one. Point being, Winston has had some good games. He did win a national championship at Florida State. That defense, given how long they were on the field in the first half, given the heat and humidity, the fact that it's a road game and everything in between, they found ways to get stops at the most crucial junctures. this week in Cincinnati, another big test. I think the offense is slightly better. I'm not all that worried about Dalton. Dalton had a really nice game against the Bengals, but part of that came because of a god-awful decision by the safety with like 30 seconds to go at the end of the first half. He tried to jump the deep ball, just like you saw in that Baltimore playoff game when Flacco ended up winning a Super Bowl at Denver. Like, your only responsibility is to be the deepest man on the field. And he came running up to intercept it, and it just dropped into John Ross right behind, and he, you know, went on for a touchdown in that situation. That's a terrible way to close out a half. The Niner defense feels to me as if, A, they didn't get enough credit for what they did this past weekend, and B, they're going to be the ones that have to carry this team throughout the course of the season. I look at this total this week, I see 45 points as your over-under. I think the Niners are going to be an under team. I think as the offense tries to find its way and the defense plays above what people are going to give them credit for, you are going to see lower scoring games. And I think that plays into your hands against Cincinnati. Again, my biggest concern with the Bengals comes down to the fact that this is their only home game in the opening month of the season. They are at Seattle, and then they'll be at Buffalo and at Pittsburgh after this. If you have just one home game in the opening four, there's going to be a lot of emphasis on winning that home game.
Oh, yeah, and their coaches are preaching that all week long. They need to get this win. And I think that you're going to see Cincinnati come out, and they're going to try to go for it early and try to make sure they knock this 49er team in. Knock this 49er team out. The 49ers, they got to win. We got to win last week, but do they know how to win? And I think that's the emphasis of Cincinnati. Hey, here's a team that doesn't know how to win, guys. Here's a team that'll let you hang around. Do they know how to finish teams? Do they have that killer instinct? Can they knock a team out? Those are questions that got to be answered. Those are questions got to be answered by the Niners. Those are questions that, yeah, the Niners say that they believe that. They got the swag. They're the hot boys. They know all that stuff. But haven't they shown that? Have they shown that, hey, they have the ability to knock a team out? And I think Cincinnati wants to see that. They're saying, hey, look, make these guys prove it, that they can play for four quarters. And Jimmy G, can he be a quarterback? Let's make him throw the ball. Let's make Jimmy G beat us. And I think they want to see that. Is he capable of doing that? Yes, he's shown you that, but is he going to be capable this week? Is that knee going to hold up? Does he feel comfortable enough to stay in the pocket? Is he going to take more chances? Is the guy just going to try to be three steps and get the ball out of his hand? Is he going to wait for guys to clear and come open? Is he going to hold on the ball to take some shots down the field? Or is he just going to dink and dunk like he did last week? This is an opportunity for Jimmy G to come out and I think to make it rain. He's going to have opportunities. He's got to make sure he holds on the ball a little longer and look for a second and third reads and let guys come over and trust the offensive line that's going to protect him.
Not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but you realize we live in a world that could involve a Monday conversation with a 2-0 Niners team. Like, if you find a way in Cincinnati to get this win, you're going to be 2-0. 7-7, 500 the rest of the way out, puts you at 9-6 and in a position to grab a wild card berth. Probably not a division, but it could. But a wild card berth. And even if you don't get in, 9-7 is such a dramatic step forward. Imagine the trajectory of the franchise moving in the next year with another draft and another spin through free agency because they have a lot of cash, and then another year on top of it. Like, you're living in a world where you're seeing progress. You've waited as a Niner fan for a long time just to get a semblance of organization, just to get the idea that the team's doing the right thing. As bad as it's looked for the Raiders over the last couple weeks, they do look somewhat organized. Brown's gone. The Abraham injury hurts. But they played a very competent, very organized brand of football against the Broncos on Monday night. We'll see if they can extend that. The Niners being 2-0 come Monday morning, that really starts to make things interesting moving forward.
No doubt. And even if it is another performance where Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't necessarily set the world on fire, 2-0 is 2-0. And you would be looking at a team saying, this roster is so much better than it was a few years ago, where you could go through the entirety of the 53-man roster and find four, maybe five players who could make another team in the National Football League. And now you look at your starting 22, and you don't really see a lot of weak spots. And you look at the backups, and you see actual depth now. And running back is going to be the interesting one for me, Lo, especially this weekend, because if Jeff Wilson is up, can you really go in and win on the road with Breida, Mostert, and Wilson? If the answer is yes, then you've got something special going here because your receivers haven't done much. And if your running backs, if you're down a man and you've got injury concerns, how good can your offense really be if they start to maybe take away George Kittle?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Raheem Mostert and to see if they're going to play him a lot on special teams. Or are they going to look at Wilson and say, hey, hey, Wilson, you got to play special teams because you need.
Are you implying the concern would be if Mostert's going to have an increased role in the backfield, you don't want to risk him on special teams?
And that's exactly what I'm implying. You have to look at the situation and say, hey, look, we might have to need him. If Breida, let's face it, Breida's fast, he's quick, he makes things happen.
He's a cheetah,
but what happens if he goes down? You can't have Mostert playing a lot of spending a lot of energy on special teams if he's now going to be your guy that you want the bell cow. You got to look at this situation and you got to make sure that you have a contingency plan and you got to make sure that you limit him on special teams. So you got to make sure that the special teams coach this week is making sure that he has his backup for Mostert. And say, look, I'm expecting plays from you. This is a guy now. You got to see who's going to step up on special teams. Special teams is going to be huge because you got to make sure that Mostert's going to be okay because he's going to tote the ball 10 times.
Which teams is the most important to keep him on? Would it be kickoff coverage followed by punt coverage? If he's on every team, and I'm not sure if he's on all the teams, but is kickoff coverage the most important for
you? Coverage. You can't have Cincinnati special teams flipping the field or taking one to the house. Those are backbreaker plays. Backbreaker plays that change games in an instant. I would rather have him, if he, assuming, and I don't think he is, but if he's on every single special team, keep him on the coverage teams. Like punt coverage.
So punt coverage and kickoff coverage.
Right. I don't want, maybe you can take him off kickoff coverage because if you've got the leg to get it through the end zone, it's
and your boy's got the leg,
anyway.
It's touchback city every time.
It's Mitch. I mean, you don't have to worry about Mitch. He's bankable.
Then take him off. Mitch needs to put it through the end zone every time because you don't
Mitch
want him
wish.
Down.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
No, I am going to worry about it, Joe.
I just told you not to worry about it because Mitch has got us covered.
Okay. Well, since you
guys got an eye for talent, he understands how things work.
Okay. Then if you're that comfortable, then
take him off kickoff, maybe just put him on punt.
Take him off
Give
everything.
Give him a couple of them, yeah.
Gibbs, take him off everything.
Gibbs, take him off everything.
Coach, you need him. He's your best special teamer outside of Mark Nzacha.
Hey, Coach. What if Breida's done? What if Breida hurts his ankle and his shoulder goes, and now you're going to see him having him running down kickoff and punt? No, Coach. You can't do it.
But until that happens, you can leave him out there.
He's not going to be on there. Watch what happens.
Is that normally how it's done?
Yeah, you're in a situation that you have a guy that's fragile, a guy that we love in Breida, and he can start in this league, but he's had some health issues. So you can't afford to get a guy that may have to come on there and tote the mail effectively. You can't have him running down on all the teams and playing. You can't do it.
All right, so do you consider, a lot of people keep bringing this up, do you consider the idea of calling the Chargers and inquiring about Melvin Gordon?
No, I leave that alone.
Too many Melvins in the Bay Area then. It'd be Mount Melvin more.
Yeah, Melvin, old Mel left us. He's over in Denver right now. Talk to Mel. He gave me a shout last
week. Mel, the intern's in Denver?
Utah. I'm sorry, Utah.
Same thing.
Close enough. Ballpark.
Same time zone.
He said he's 2 hours from Vegas. He's doing he works for a little newspaper out there, writing and doing all that stuff.
Really?
So go ahead, Big Mel. Yeah, absolutely.
Tallest newspaper writer in the country, I'd say
he was. But yeah, no.
Shout out Mel.
Shout out old Mel. Melly Mel. No, you can't go after Melvin Gordon. Joe, the guy wants the world. Yeah. You've been injured. You haven't shown durability. They look like they're fine without you. No, Melvin Gordon, not for the money that he's wanting. No. And that's why the Chargers gave him permission to go shop and go find it. And guess what? No one's picked with the ball.
This is not going to work out well for Melvin Gordon.
No.
Because what people always forget, it's like, oh, go get Melvin Gordon. You're going to have to give the Chargers second or a third, probably, which is a high asset, then you're going to have to give them $14 million a year. Nobody wants to do that. This is the worst holdout ever.
Worse.
How hard is it to bring a running back in?
His agent.
Forget how hard it is to find a good one. How hard is it to bring one in midseason as far as a learning curve goes? If there was a running back available, let's say Melvin Gordon and the price wasn't too high, could you plug and play a running back in even early on in the season like this?
You could. You know what? If you can understand the terminology, for one, the biggest thing is in the passing game. And when you think about what they can do, they can play nickel, they can play dime. You understand when you play nickel, you take out the Sam backer, a linebacker, and you put in another corner, and you have a nickel. Dime, you take out two linebackers, then you have 60 beats. So as long as you know the protection, so it may be called something different, But the protection doesn't change. You understand if it, you understand if you're what you're doing. You're cross checking. You understand. Hey, I've, if that's a backer, then I got the guy outside of him. So once you understand this, if I you tell me the word, if it's blue, that means hey, look, this is what we're going to do on this protection. Blue means rip, what you used to call. So you know that the linebacker where the center points, that means they got that one. You got the guy outside of me.
Right.
So as long as you got those basic concepts down, Dibs, yeah, you can understand.
Because the run plays are pretty much the run plays.
The off tackle. Exactly.
And, okay.
Odd to the left, even to the right. Where, you know, usually it may have an R in the word, you know, 42 draw, 42 lead, okay? Or you can call it 22 lead. That means going to the, you know, to the right. 42 going to the right again. So as long as you understand, it can't be that, you know.
Gotcha.
So as far as a running back, yes, you can bring a running back in, and he should be able to handle.
Is there more use for Juszczyk now? Getting him involved in some of this, do you start to mix up your personnel groupings and go with a little bit more Juszczyk?
You can use Juszczyk, and I think you use him extremely in the passing game, Drew. I don't want the guy carrying the ball.
I don't know about that. I don't need him out there picking up more penalties.
He's highly
penalized in the passing game.
You throw the ball to him, you don't have this guy running the ball a lot. You don't want to waste. You don't want to do that. So you got to have these guys. The running backs got to understand that. And here's an opportunity for these running backs by committee to make some hay this weekend, because you're going to have opportunities. You're going to have opportunities to run the ball against Cincinnati. And this is a game, in my opinion, they will get to that over that 120. This is a game they have to. They really do. They got, like you talked about, they cannot leave the defense out on that field and give Andy Dalton a bunch of chances to, you know, to have the ball in his hand. You got to have ball control. You got to make things happen. Jimmy G has to be a little bit more accurate. He's got to be more accurate. He understands that. They understand that. But this is a game that they need to find a way to win. They need to find a way to beat the Bengals. They really do.
They've got to stay deep. If it's going to be Tre'Davious Moore back there at safety, whoever it's going to be, however they're going to play it with their personnel groupings, Cincinnati, even though they are down, A.J. Green, he's not going to play this week, which is a huge win for the Niners. John Ross can fly. John Ross can blow the top off the defense. Where'd he go? Isn't he from Washington? He's a Pac-12 guy, isn't he? I'm clicking on it right now. Yeah, he played at Washington. This dude can move,
yeah,
all right?
Run.
He hasn't exactly lived up to the billing early in his NFL career, but he had some big plays and a big-time stat line up against Seattle this past weekend. Seattle's defense, not what it used to be, but look, when you are a 10-point underdog in week one going into Seattle, after they just picked up Jadeveon Clowney and everyone's excited about their prospects for the season, and you go in and you have a chance to beat them, in fact, you're leading most of the way, and you lose by a point, I got to tell you something, that's going to turn some heads. Maybe Seattle isn't as good as expected, but that's a very tough venue in week one. That's a non-conference opponent. You don't even deal with them. You deal with them once every 4 years. So it's not like you've got this wealth of knowledge like Jets, Bills, or Bears, Packers, or something like that.
Yeah.
This is a situation where they went in. That is an impressive performance. That's one of the more impressive losses of the weekend.
Seattle,
you got to give them a lot more credit.
You do. Would Seattle win 7 games this year? If I'm asking you to take that off. Over
you're probably right on the number of where I would be. If you just said, give me a number, I'd be thinking 8-8, 7-9. I'm not impressed by them.
Nor am I.
I know that got Clowney, but coming into the season, what was so good about them? They have problems at wide receiver, and we've got to stop viewing them as a great defense. They're not a great defense. Bobby Wagner's a great player.
Yeah.
And I know they brought in Clowney, but like Sherman's not there. Browner's not there. Frank Clark isn't with them anymore. All the guys from the Legion of Boom, Thomas, Chancellor, they're gone. This is a different defense. Doesn't mean it's a terrible defense, no. But it's not a great defense.
Yeah, it's the Legion of Whom,
yeah.
And it's a fascinating matchup here in week two at Pittsburgh. A couple of teams that are, you know, normally you look at that matchup and think marquee, put that thing in prime time, but a couple of organizations really searching right now. Pittsburgh losing its offensive identity with no Antonio Brown, no Le'Veon Bell, and Ben Roethlisberger maybe fading into the sunset, and a Seattle team, as you mentioned, which was not that impressive.
That is a great game for the Niners because one of two things happens. Either the Seahawks lose, which is huge as you're pursuing both and or, I should say, a division or a wild card berth, or the Steelers lose. And then the Steelers are coming out here at 0-2, probably facing a lot of questions from the media and the fan base. If they're 0-2 to start the year, especially with a home loss to Seattle, and that offense doesn't look good, people are going to be getting on everybody. Someone say on TV recently they thought Ben Roethlisberger could retire during the middle of the season?
Yeah, that was Deion Sanders.
That was Deion Sanders?
NFL Network, yeah, from the Velvet Throne that he was sitting in.
Velvet.
No, you should see the clip, though. He's sitting in like this gigantic velvet throne, primetime looking very comfortable. And he outright says it looks like Ben Roethlisberger is pondering retirement on every snap.
Yeah, if Jimmy G played like that, he would be people were talking about if there's a handful of quarterbacks that could play like that and people don't say much. But if there's a lot of quarterbacks that play like Ben and look like that, the people are asking who's next. You know, but you got to give the guy, you know, Ben's been a hell of a player in this league, but I don't know if his heart's in it. This guy pondered retiring, he says not. I know he loves the money, but I don't know if the guy has it anymore, Joe. Really
good.
Don't.
Good for the Niners then. Good. Hopefully he comes in here just looking to cash checks. That's a big time game. That is a big time. If you're 2-0 with that situation, look, we focus so much in the offseason as to those final six games and how the schedule was going to bend against them late in the year. Well, how about how it's setting up the start of the year? You won in Tampa. You don't have to face AJ Green in Cincinnati. You might have a down on its luck on its way out the door Pittsburgh franchise coming in week 3. And oh, week 5 against the Browns on Monday night. Browns didn't exactly light the world on fire this past weekend. The Titans rolled into their stadium and kicked them in the teeth. Fans rolled out midway through the fourth quarter. They were done with that team. What started off as a brutal scheduled open the season could be the difference between a playoff berth and missing the postseason once again post Harbaugh.
And the Browns could be in a similar situation. They go to the Jets this Monday night, Low. So if the Browns don't pull off a road victory,
they're like a field goal favorite in that game too.
Over the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets are dealing with a ton of injuries. Quinnen Williams got hurt.
Yeah.
CJ Mosley got hurt. Quincy Enunwa, the wide receiver, just got ruled out for the season.
But if the Browns do lose that and they sit at 0-2, they could be coming into Santa Clara in a similar state as far as, you know, their season maybe being over before it even starts.
You can see that unraveling quickly.
Right.
Cleveland's the team that if it breaks against them early, they'll unravel very quickly.
Agreed.
They don't strike me as a resilient bunch with their 3 turnovers and 18 penalties from this past weekend.
And you got Baltimore hosting Arizona, Low, here in week 2, so you could see a scenario where the Ravens are 2-0 and everyone else in that division is sitting 0-2.
I don't like that Ravens game for the Niners later in the year, by the way. That 10 a.m. start at Baltimore with the way they looked in week 1, I'm going to go ahead and not get too excited about that one just yet. Unless you guys want to go have some crab cakes.
That'd be fun.
That's
be
nice.
Great.
For
love crab cakes.
Crab cakes. Yeah, Baltimore's known for it. That we could go see the famous locations for The Wire.
We can revisit my failed attempt at finding love up in Vermont, too.
Man.
The trip that started in Baltimore. I famously drove from Baltimore to South Royalton, Vermont, got shut down in the town square, slept on the couch, and drove back.
Knocked on the girl's door to surprise her.
That's beautiful.
And her boyfriend, she had a boyfriend?
Yeah, she did. She did. Now her husband, so.
It's tough beat right
there.
It's
bad beat, coach. Bad beat. It's not like I had pocket aces, though. I went up there 9-4 off-suited, hoping to catch something on the turn.
All right, I'll throw some chips in here. I'll see a flop.
Yeah,
I'll see a flop,
you know,
here.
We're playing poker, right? We're playing cards, everyone.
That's awesome.
1,000 miles round trip, by the way.
Michael Silver, 95.7 The Game Football Insider, is going to join us at 9:05. A reminder that John Lynch, former friend of Lorenzo Neal, current general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. He's tomorrow at 8.
Got that right,
but
Joe.
But Silver's today at 9:05, and we're going to ask him specifically about comments he made on the NFL Network yesterday. Take a listen.
Jimmy Garoppolo, you saw the touchdown. He also threw a pick six. You know, rough moments in the preseason. He's coming back from the knee injury. Guys, keep an eye on this. Nick Mullins is Kyle Shanahan's type of quarterback. He is almost a savant when it comes to understanding the offense. He really, really executes it in a way that Kyle Shanahan likes. If Jimmy Garoppolo struggles or continues to struggle and they're either losing or he's not playing well or both, I don't think it's that far-fetched that they could make a quarterback switch earlier than some people might imagine.
Silver's going to join us at 9:05. We'll ask him all about that. One thing you need to know now, Silver is not the type of guy who's going to just throw stuff up against the wall to get attention. He's been doing this a long time. He's a professional, and he's very good at what he does. If he's reporting that, if he's talking about that, it's because he believes it for no other reason than the fact that he believes it because he's cultivated a lot of good sources over the years. He's not some guy that's going to say it for attention, so it's a comment that needs to be taken seriously. My first reaction to that, Garoppolo needs a couple big games to end this thing. Because this isn't the first time we've heard it from Silver. It's not the first time we've heard it in general. Chris Mortensen joined us and talked about it. There was another one that came on, which is escaping me over the course of a week. We had 3 national guys that came on to talk about this. Garoppolo's going to need they don't need to be monster games, but he's going to need some good games to shut all this up. You can't have a season that's going well, that looks like it might have playoff-type trajectory, and have a quarterback controversy discussion taking place simultaneously. That's going to create an issue. He's got to silence this. He needs to play capable football.
Yeah, and we saw that last year with Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken, with Flacco and Lamar Jackson. Or was it injury that ultimately drove him out? It seemed like it
was... He was banged up, but they were looking for an opportunity to get Lamar Jackson on
the
field.
And they were a team that was trending and eventually did make the playoffs, and ultimately the switch paid off. And the 49ers with Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick had a similar situation. Alex Smith got hurt, Kaepernick replaced him, and never looked back. Hearing that comment from Silver, he said a couple things that are really interesting to me. One, that Mullins is a savant, and the other is that he's Kyle's type of quarterback. So what would that mean, Lowe, for the John Lynch-Kyle Shanahan relationship if they made this switch? Does this mean that Jimmy Garoppolo is John Lynch's type of quarterback, and might this create some sort of a divide between the GM and the head coach?
I don't think so. I think when you look at what happened and what transpired with these two, Jimmy G came in and he became an instant hero. Everyone was clamoring for Jimmy G to play. And it's like, put him in, you know. And we waited 3 or 4 weeks. They said, hey, the head coach said, hey, let the guy learn the system first. He's just coming in. We give us time to get this guy, you know, in the rhythm. And he comes in, and Lord behold, the guy is the next best thing since sliced bread. He's lighting it up. He wins 5 games, 5 in a row. He beats teams like Cincinnati. Now, he beats a team that was going to the playoffs, the Tennessee Titans. He also beat that particular year the Jacksonville Jaguars and shredded them. They did all that talking. He earned a contract. So now you're in a situation where Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch both bought in. He only played a handful of games the year after, 2 games, got injured against Kansas City. So it's a small sample size. Then we look at camp and all the things that are happening. Everyone says, hey, the team's ready to go. It's up to Jimmy G. Everyone's got to just pump their brakes on the guy. I think that the guy's going to be fine. I don't think that he's going to be an elite quarterback, but I think he's serviceable enough. I think that he can win Super Bowls. I think he can win a Super Bowl. I think that he's going to be okay. I just think the biggest thing right now, It's his body. Is the guy healthy? Can the guy play at a high level with consistency? Does he believe in his knee? Guys that usually come off big major knee injuries, especially when quarterbacks, they don't necessarily have a great year. So I think that is where the reason for people to be like, okay, are they going to go with Mullins? Are they going to, you know, take Jimmy G out? And if that's the case, I could see that happening, but I don't think that it's going to be – I don't think it would despair Jimmy G as being a starter here.
Play him all 16 games if he's healthy. I don't care how poorly he plays, and then make your decision after that. I don't want to see a quarterback change taking place during the season if Garoppolo struggles. It doesn't make any sense to me. The entire knock, the entire time has been, it's only a handful of games. You paid him after a handful of games. He's only started like 8 games. Whatever it may be, it's true. He's got a very small sample. So expand the sample. Don't give him 4 or 5, and if it looks a little bit shaky, switch over to Mullins. Because if Mullins plays well, then what happens? You just stick with Mullins? Okay, great. Then what are you going to do with Garoppolo? Get pennies on the dollar? Have him as your backup at $27 million a year? It's not going to work. Exhaust it to the point where everyone realizes it's not going to work. Play him all 16. And if he looks terrible all year, by the time you switch to Mullins for next season, everything should be great, right? Because if he's the savior, he'll have a whole offseason to get himself ready, and then he takes over next year. I don't want to see any switches taking place in week 6 or 7. That's what disorganized franchises do. They make these impetuous decisions. As much as I want to see this team win this year, you know what? They haven't won for a while. 1 more year isn't going to cause a problem, right? This isn't squandering an opportunity with Aaron Rodgers or not taking advantage of a great Bears defense or Jerry Jones waiting too long to pay everybody in Dallas, right? It's not the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. You got a window there, but once you pay Patrick, it's going to be very difficult to build the rest of that roster out with high-priced talent. That's how it works in a salary cap league. Right now, you're set up. Let him play all 16 games. If he's terrible and you miss the playoffs, fine, move on from him. But don't do this nonsense where you get 6 games in, it's, well, he's a little shaky, we're going to give it to Mullins. If Mullins plays well, then what happens to Garoppolo? If Mullins plays shaky, then what? Hey, Jimmy, you're back up. Sorry for not showing you any confidence, but you know you're our guy. Yeah, I'm not really buying that. Trade me. Now you got that issue that's possibly on your hands, right? Don't rock the boat. you still, at your very core, are in a building phase. You are not established. You are not done. You're building. You have to find out whether or not this is your guy. The only way you're going to find that out is with enough games, enough evidence. Play out the season. I don't think they're – play out the season. If you can't get it done this year, what's the harm in that, right? You haven't been getting it done for a while.
It's just a true sample size of Jimmy G, though. If you play him this whole year and the guy's injured and he doesn't feel comfortable with his knee, are you getting to see the real Jimmy G? And that's the question, that's the speculation, and that's the question I think that has to be answered. And if you feel that way, that, hey, you play him the whole year and you feel that, hey, the guy will work into it, he'll work into it. Maybe it's going to be 4 or 5 games that he doesn't play well, but then it's going to happen. Is that 4 or 5 games too late, Dibs? Will that be too late? Could he overcome? Could the team overcome? Or if you're saying, hey, if I believe that Mullins can get me through there because I think we're able to win now, I don't know.
I think maybe the team is constructed strong enough around Jimmy Garoppolo that he can play the way he did in Tampa and you can still win games, especially if it's a case where he's not giving the ball away like Jameis Winston. It's one thing to play badly. It's another thing to play badly and give the ball away multiple times.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Tomorrow at this time, 8 o'clock, John Lynch, general manager of the San Francisco 49ers with Joe Lowe and Dibs right here on 95.7 The Game. I see the phone lines are lighting up. We're going to turn it over to you guys in a second. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Do we have the Michael Silver audio from yesterday on Jimmy Garoppolo? I'd like to reset with that while also letting you know that Michael Silver, 95.7 The Game football insider, will join us 1 hour from now.
Jimmy Garoppolo, you saw the touchdown. He also threw a pick six. You know, rough moments in the preseason. He's coming back from the knee injury. Guys, keep an eye on this. Nick Mullins is Kyle Shanahan's type of quarterback. He is almost a savant when it comes to understanding the offense. He really, really executes it in a way that Kyle Shanahan likes. If Jimmy Garoppolo struggles or continues to struggle and they're either losing or he's not playing well or both, I don't think it's that far-fetched that they could make a quarterback switch earlier than some people might imagine.
All right, now, imagine this scenario based on everything we're trying to work through here. Garoppolo doesn't play all that great. Maybe it's week 7, week 8, who knows when the decision comes, but you decide you're going to go with Mullins. Mullins steps in. Mullins doesn't look all that great. Plays well at times, plays poorly at times. He's kind of an even Steven sort of situation. What do we do this offseason? Are we drafting a quarterback then?
C.J. Beathard.
Are we doing that? Like, what are we doing? Are we doing musical chairs here? At some point, you got to figure out who the quarterback's going to be. So if Garoppolo doesn't look good this year and you pull the plug, fine. You see what you've got in Mullins. What happens if he doesn't look all that great? What are you going to do this offseason? Kirk Cousins, he might not be available. He might play out the third year in Minnesota if things go well. They, after all, did just hammer the Atlanta Falcons in week 1. So if Cousins plays well enough, Zimmer's not going to make any changes there. So then what are you doing? Are you trying to trade up in the draft? You got some good quarterbacks coming out this year, but you've already won a game. You're probably going to win, even if you struggle this year, 5 or 6, which right. is going to keep you from the top. Are you going to make some dramatic trade to get up there and go for Tua? Sorry, if Miami ends up at 1, they're taking a quarterback. So one of the guys is going to be gone. What's the play? Like, you got to get that position nailed down at some point. It's year 3 with Shanahan and Lynch. Like, they got to get it nailed down. At the very least, if you ride Garoppolo throughout the course of the season, if he plays poorly, you figure out he's not your guy. You move on. Then you give Mullins the job next season. And then if it doesn't work out there, you're already, what, 4 years into this thing? You can cut everyone else out, the GM, the coach, whatever you want to do, and you can start all over again. But I don't like the idea of making the change midway through the season. I don't. If it comes down to, well, he's still coming back from the knee, well, then when's he going to get another opportunity? What if he never gets another opportunity? Like, you're just investing all this money in these assets, and you're not. I don't think you're properly giving it enough time.
I understand that, but I think that you're cutting a guy then after the season. You'll be cutting a guy that you didn't give him enough time. You didn't give him a fair opportunity to play at elite level, the level that we're accustomed to seeing him play at. So if he is hurt, and you look at statistics, and you look at stats, and you say, man, here's what all these other great quarterbacks did after a knee injury. What makes this guy different? Why are we putting this type of pressure on a guy that didn't have these type of guys at Hall of Fame numbers, didn't play this much in the National League? This guy hasn't even played. He hadn't even – man, they said Carson Wentz. They said there's like four young quarterbacks that's already throwing more passes than Jimmy G. Jimmy G's only played, what, 10, 15 games, pro games? We got to give him some time. I totally agree, and we got to be patient. I just think that, you know, you got to look at Jimmy G, and I'm not trying to throw Jimmy G out. I just think that the guy, he's going to be okay. I just think that right now, I think that it's above the shoulders. I think he's dealing with things mentally. I think that you got to think about his knee. And I think that Jimmy G is going to get better. I just don't know if you can wait 5, 6, 7 weeks. Would it be too late?
That's the fascinating thing, because there's two different elements here at play. One is he has to get comfortable playing the game, and the other one is he has to play the game to get comfortable. Now, how do those two things interrelate? Can you play him like you did against Tampa and maybe do it in a more limited fashion? Not a lot of 5 and 7 step drops. You didn't have him throwing the ball all over the park. You're relying on the Australian kicker, Wisnowski, to give you good field position and a defense to be opportunistic. Can you play that way for 5, 6, 7 weeks while kind of putting the cuffs on Jimmy G, letting him get comfortable? If you can get away with that, having Jimmy get comfortable while still being competitive and winning, I think that is the ideal scenario. But to your point, if you go through that period and Jimmy G still trying to get comfortable, he's still trying to get confident, and now you're 2-5 because you had some games that you didn't win because Jimmy G wasn't ready, how much does that affect you?
Let's go to the billions. Jay in San Jose. Jay, thank you for the phone call. What's going on?
Hey, thank you, guys. Just a couple things. One, I'm going to agree with you guys that you shouldn't replace Jimmy G in the middle of the season. Wait till the season's over. And then another thing, I think Silver was kind of off base saying Garoppolo was going to get replaced if he doesn't do good. Hey, you're not a mental titan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.